tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. Great to see you guys. If this is your first time, I want to welcome you. And whether this is your first time or you come every week, I want to invite you to open up your smartphone or tablet and check out a free app called YouVersion. And this is a place where we take notes, and I really want to encourage you. I can't force you to do this, but I want to encourage you to take notes during this series. This is a series that we want to give some very practical things for your family, and I believe it's one of those series that you're going to nod your head and say, that's good, I hope to remember that, and then a week goes by, a month goes by, and you're going to get into some conflict with your family, and you're going to say, what did he say? I can't remember it, and if you don't take notes, it's just going to fly right past you. So I'd encourage you to take some notes today. You can do that through YouVersion. There's also a free poll in there and some other things as well to check out. And today we're going to continue something that we started last week, and it's something new for us. Maybe you grew up in a church and you did this all the time, but this was something we started last week for the very first time, and we want to show some honor to the Bible. And the reason that we want to do that is because I'm convinced that you only get something out of what you're willing to put in. And if you view the Bible as a boring book, as a book that's not relevant, as a book that's not true, you're not going to get much out of the Bible. But if you go into it with some excitement, saying, hey, these are the very words of God that they could say something to change my life. If you show honor to something, you receive something back. And so our goal today is we want to show a little bit of honor. And it reminded me of something that rabbis did for years, that rabbis in Old Testament times, which is the first portion of the Bible, way before Jesus, a rabbi was responsible for a kid's education. And kids didn't have public school, and so the way that they learned was literally sitting under the teachings of a rabbi. And on the very first day of their version of school, the rabbi would take some honey, and he would place the honey on their slate. And all the students had slates that they would learn from. And he would then take that their slates, and he would encourage them, now that the honey is on your slate, I want you to dip your finger in it and taste the honey from your slate and on your finger. And then he would say this over them, may the word of God be sweet to your taste, sweeter than honey to your mouth. And the reason is because in their day, and this happened all the way from Old Testament times all the way through Jesus' day, honey was not something that you could just buy from the store. It was not something you just go out, and people didn't have like tons of honey in their house. It was a delicacy. And honey actually was so special to the Jewish people that they viewed it as God's favor, that if you had honey, it was like, this is the favor of God. And kids didn't have all the sugar that we have today. They didn't have sugary cereals and sugary sweets. And so for a kid to touch the honey, the rabbi would then compare that honey, as great as it tastes, that's what it's like to hear from God through the scriptures. And he would paint this picture for them that just like you're enjoying honey, when you get to experience the scriptures, when you taste them, when you apply them, when you allow them to come into your life, it is sweet like the taste of honey. And I think that's an awesome picture for kids to grow up, that this isn't homework, this isn't something boring that we do, we don't have to endure the Bible, that it is actually sweet like honey. And so we're going to show some honor before we get into our text, and the way that we're going to do that is I'm going to ask you just to stand, and this is an all play, we're all going to do this. We're going to stand, and the text is going to come up on the screen. And I want you to pretend like this is some honey. I want you to pretend that you're excited about this, that you're awake. Make sure the caffeine is kicked in. I want to see lots of smiles. I don't want to see any crossed arms or dirty looks. We are excited about this. I know I'm forcing you to stand. I'm forcing you to do something. But we are excited to dig in to the Word of God. So Psalm 141:3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. All right, before you're seated, we just want to ask God to speak to our hearts and to give us the courage to do whatever he tells us to do. Would you bow your heads and spend a few seconds praying to him? God, we're opening up your word, and we come from so many different places. Some of us are coming from a place of disbelief. Some of us are coming from a place of hurt. Some of us are coming from a place where we're just apathetic because we've been to church for so long. It's just old news to us. And I just ask that you would just speak to us in a personal way. Would you revive our souls? Would you help us to hear from you? And God, would you give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do? And God, I just pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You guys can be seated. Now, in order to get anything out of this series, you have to do something. I can't make you do this. I'm just encouraging you to do this. In order to get anything out of this series, what you need to do is you have to have some humility that admits that your family is not perfect. And even if you're single and you say, well, what family? Well, your family relationship with your siblings or even with your parents, you need to think even forward. If you're single, you need to be thinking about, one day I may have a family, I may get married, I may have kids, and this is the blueprint to have how to have a healthy family. And in order to do that, all of us have to admit we've got some issues. We may post pictures on Facebook that makes everyone think we have the perfect family, but we don't. There are some problems, there are some behind-the-scenes things that no one else knows about, and we've all got some issues. And the goal of this series is not to pretend to be perfect, it's to be honest with ourselves and to learn about how to have even a better family. I am not a perfect parent, and my wife is not a perfect parent. We both have some great strengths, and I think we do the best that we can for parenting and the best that we can do in marriage, but we're by far not perfect. I was reminded of this a couple Christmases ago. My wife and I, we've been married for 15 years, and we've never done a Christmas card. And we always wanted to, but they're always so expensive. And then being on church staff, there's a lot of people that you have to include. And so we just didn't have the funds and didn't make the time to do it. But one year, a couple years ago, our kids were getting a little bit older, and we decided to bite the bullet and to do our very first Christmas family photo together. So we dressed the kids up. And we went to picture people in the mall, which another word for that is purgatory. I don't know if you've studied the Greek of what picture people stands for, but it's purgatory. It is an awful experience. And so like you're in the mall and they put you in front of this window and like people walk and look at you like you're zoo animals and like you're trying to get your kids to smile and like they're distracted and like it's an awful experience. But after a lot of hard work and a lot of sweat, we got a great family photo. My wife then goes and she goes to a program on the computer where it puts together the family photo into a Christmas card, and she ordered a bunch of them to send out to all of our friends for our very first Christmas card. We were incredibly excited about it, and then my wife got the Christmas cards in the mail. And when she got them in the mail, she was a little distraught. She was a little bit thrown off, and I think she was a little bit even sad. And she brings me over to see it, and we both start laughing at her Christmas card. I want to show you our very first and only family Christmas card, and see if you can figure out what's wrong with this Christmas card. If you haven't noticed, at the very bottom, it says, Merry Christmas, love, the Robinson family. For those of you new, my last name is Shepherd. I don't have a fat clue who the Robinsons are. And so we had a bunch of Christmas cards with the wrong name on it. And we like debated, what do we do? Do we like keep these and waste the money, or do we send them out? And we just thought it would be fun. Let's just send them out and see if any of our friends notice that the total wrong name is on our very first Christmas card. And I show you that just so you know, like we are far from perfect. Like we're doing the best that we can, but we're not perfect. We make mistakes and you make mistakes as well. And this series is not a series that's going to prevent you from ever making any mistakes. It's not a series that's going to make you perfect. What this is a series that's going to help you have some tools necessary to manage the difficulties of family. Now, we're going to go do a little bit of review, because if you weren't here last week, I want to make sure that you get it, because the series is entitled Family Blueprint, and the reason it's Family Blueprint is because each week we're going to unveil the different parts of the blueprint for a family. And last week we talked about the foundation for healthy relationships, and before it comes on the screen, I just want to test those of you that were here, or if you listen to the podcast, does anyone remember what are the two foundations for healthy relationships? Just shout it out. Thank you very much. There was some murmuring going on over here. I don't know what that was. Maybe that was the right answer, but it was just like, yeah, in case you didn't hear it or in case you just forgot, the foundation, it's going to come up on the screen, the foundation for healthy relationships are unconditional acceptance and unconditional love. Unconditional acceptance and unconditional love. Now, unconditional acceptance does not mean that you accept every bad behavior by everyone in your life. In fact, healthy relationships mean you set up some boundaries. And there are some times where you have to say, I love you, but I'm going to separate you from the mess. And there's certain things that you can't bring into my house. In order for us to have a healthy relationship, I need to have some boundaries. It doesn't change how I view you. I still love you. You still can be a part of my life. But you just can't bring that mess in here. It's just damaging to our relationship. And so we talked last week about the foundation. And I want to show you why this is so important. Jesus said this to his followers. He said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Now, Jesus gives this word picture of a tower. Most of you don't build a tower, but the principle is the same for your family. Jesus is saying, if you sit down and build a tower and you don't count up the costs and say, hey, do I even have enough money? What's the plan? Do I have the materials? Do I have the people to build this tower? If you start a tower and then you can't finish it, everyone's going to walk by and say, man, that joker didn't plan accordingly. But think about yourself and think about your family. How many of us have done any research on how to have a healthy family? Most of us did not look at a blueprint or consider the cost. We jumped in, we started dating, we didn't read a dating book, we got married, we didn't read a marriage book, we had kids, we didn't take any marriage or kid classes or how to raise any kids. We just jumped in and we kind of winged it. And we just said, we're good enough, we're smart enough, we can handle this. But winging it is not having a plan. And the problem with family is not that you're not smart, it's not that you're not good, it's that if you don't have a plan, when life gets messy, you don't know what to do. And it reminds me of a picture I recently saw on Facebook of a mom posted this with a caption, and I thought the picture was hilarious, but it reminds me of how so many of us jump into parenting without really knowing what to do. The picture is going to come up on the screen for you. It says, this is a picture of a camel eating a child's head. I don't know if you can see that in the back. And the caption says, your child is being eaten by a camel. Do you A, save your child, or B, take a photo? Now, without any blueprint, without any research, you as a family are going to put in situations and you're like, we don't know how to respond. We're just winging it. We're just doing the best that we can, and we're hoping that we don't raise little psychopaths. Like, we're trying our best, but your best isn't enough. Your family is important enough that they deserve some type of plan, some type of blueprint, some type of goal to say, hey, we're going to do this. We're not a perfect family, but together we're going to commit to trying to work this thing out together. So the foundation of a relationship is unconditional acceptance and unconditional love. And when you build a house, you start with the foundation. And after you build the foundation, you start to put up the framework. You put up the walls and the windows and the doors, and that is the frame of your house. And today what we're going to talk about is the frame of a healthy relationship. And the frame of a healthy relationship is communication. The frame of a healthy relationship is communication. Our text for today was written by King David. And you may be familiar with King David because he fought a giant when he was a little kid. And he took him out with a slingshot and a rock. And it's a story that we tell our kids. It's a story that we learned if you grew up in Sunday school or church. It's a story that sports broadcasters reference when a little team beats a giant behemoth of a team. And David was not only a king, he was also a person who wrote a lot of songs. He played the harp and he wrote a ton of songs. And we have recorded the songs, a lot of the songs that David wrote. And we call them Psalms. Now, when David would have used the word referencing his songs, he was Hebrew, so he wouldn't have used the word psalm. He would have used the word Tehillim. Now, can you guys just say that, humor me, and just butcher it with me? One, two, three, Tehillim, okay? Tehillim is our translation of psalms, and Tehillim literally means praise. And so David wrote out a whole book of praise, and the Psalms are amazing because there are Psalms when David's having a good day and he's crying out to God and he's like, your love, O Lord, it reaches to the heavens. And he praises God. And it's like this amazing, like just joyful boasting about God. But there's other times when David's in the pits and he's like, God, why have you left me? Where are you? My enemies are all around me and I'm just feeling like I'm getting attacked. And have you left me? Have you forgotten about me? And the Psalms are both good for those days that you're having a great day and you just want a good word to say to God. And they're also great for those times where you're like, I feel so alone. And one of the songs that David wrote, we're going to read a portion of it. And we don't know how the melody or the harmony of this song goes. We just have the words to it. And so you're welcome to add a tune to it if you want. But the words of his song, Psalm 141:3, we read it together. He says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Now, this is such an important verse. In the New Testament, it tells us about David, and it says that David was a man after God's own heart. And I don't know how you feel about that, but that would be a description I would want said of me. That, like, I'm not perfect, I have my flaws, but, like, I am just pouring after the heart of God. And that's what was said of David. And so David was a good guy. He wasn't perfect, but he was a good guy. And yet when it came to his words, look at what he says again. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Jesus' brother wrote to the early church, and he talked about the tongue, and he said, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And you may be a Christian, and God may have changed your heart, but your words tell us about the condition of what's going on inside of you. Your words reflect what's on the inside. And if you don't have a foundation of ultimate love and ultimate acceptance, unconditional love and unconditional acceptance, your words come out and they do damage not only to those around you, but to yourself. And David, being a guy who loved God, knew how damaging his words could be. And so he said, God, I need you to set up shop. I need you to guard. I need you to stand at the front of my mouth. Because when my mouth opens, it's a doorway to my soul. And sometimes my soul is messy. And sometimes my soul is hurting. And sometimes my soul lets out things that are evil. And I need you just to stand out in front and just bat down and knock down these words. Because they're harmful both for me and for the people who are in my life. Our words are so important to us. And one of the reasons why our words are so important is because our words literally are showing everyone around us the condition of our heart. Now, I wish that it was easier to see what's going on in the inside of ourselves. I wish that when I had these emotions and feelings, I could just pinpoint it and say, yeah, that's because I'm tired. That's because I'm hungry. That's because I'm insecure. That's because I'm angry at this person. But so often, we don't know how to even define what's going on inside of us. We allow our emotions to control us, and we just react. And at that point, our words just come flying out, and we say things, and we're like, I didn't really mean that, or I was just angry. But our words show the reflection. It's a reflection of the condition of our heart. And David said, set guard in front of my heart. Show me what's going on, God. When I'm using words that aren't glorifying to you, would you help me take a second just to say, God, what's going on in the inside? Why am I so hurt? Why did her words bother me so much? Why did that situation cause me to curse? Why did that situation cause me such anger? Why in this emotion, why did it affect me so much? And it is so difficult to realize and understand the emotions that are going on in the inside of you. It is way easier to know what's going on with other people and to tell other people how to live their lives, is it not? Like when you see someone else that's a train wreck, instantly you have answers. Well, you just need to do this. It's so simple. But then with your own life, isn't it hard to know what to do? And it's hard because you have these words that are coming out, and sometimes you don't even know why they're coming out, but it is a condition. It is a reflection of your heart. I love what Pastor Danny Silk says. He says, if your heart is governed by fear, then much of what you communicate is actually designed to hide what is really going on inside. You hold back, pretend something doesn't hurt, or act happy when your heart is breaking in an attempt to avoid the pain that being real can inflict. I don't know if anyone can relate to that, but there is these wounds that we've experienced. And because we don't want to have hurt, we've learned to trick our words and to lie and to say, yeah, I'm great, when really there's some mess going on inside. We've learned how to say when someone says, hey, I think you're upset, are you okay? We say, no, I'm fine, I'm just tired. And I don't want to talk about this because it might be too difficult. Or we over-talk about it and we hurt someone with our words. And they're like, where did this come from? Why are you so angry all the time? And you don't even know why you're so angry. There's just this passion, this fire inside of you. And you know she didn't mean to, but you're just unleashing on her. And it's like, where did these words come from? And so often in our lives, we just expect other people to know what's going on in the inside of us, when the truth is we often don't know what's going on in the inside of us. We just expect and assume people to know, hey, if there's something wrong, you need to know about it and you need to read my mind. The walls of a relationship, the framework of a relationship is communication. And if you drive in a neighborhood and you see a house, it's impossible to know what's going on inside of the house. You can see the outside of a house, but you can't see the inside until someone welcomes you in. And yet, when it comes to relationships, how do we treat most people? We treat most people like they have the ability to read our minds. And let me just tell you, wife, your husband cannot read your mind. You may want him to, you may think that he can, but he can't. And husband, your wife cannot read your mind. I know she may have hurt your feelings, or maybe you feel wounded, but getting back to her by giving the silent treatment or by intimidating and yelling, that's not going to solve it. You've got to be honest and say, this is the problem. Their words are showing a reflection of the problem, but the words aren't getting to the solution. Until you sit down and say, this is what's going on. That word hurt me. That instant hurt me. I have some just insecurity in my life. It's not even you, it's me. Until you wrestle with what's going on in the inside of you, your words are just a mirage to everyone else. It's actually covering up the pain that you feel on the inside. I grew up going to the church, and I don't know if you did or not, but I remember even as a middle schooler, when my pastor would talk about marriage, he would always talk about marriage as the sacred thing between a man and a woman. And when a couple gets married, they become one in the eyes of God. And this is a really big deal for Christians because we have something in the Christian world called the Trinity. And it just doesn't make sense. The Trinity is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is one God, but three separate persons. And that just doesn't make sense. How can three things be one? And the best illustration that God has given us of marriage is a married couple. That two separate lives that are totally separate and unique come together, and in the eyes of God, they are one. And so a marriage is not just about you, and it's not just about your needs. It is actually an illustration and reflection of God. And that's why marriage is so important to us. And so we have marriage to interact and to reflect with God. And so I heard this growing up in the church, that when you get married, you become one. And I was a young punk. I was 22 years old when I got married, and I just had these images of, okay, this is what it means. I'm going to be one with my wife. And on our honeymoon, something happened. I don't even remember what happened. I just remember my feelings were hurt. And at that moment, I gave my new wife the silent treatment. And I kind of shut down, and I was thinking to myself, surely she's going to know that she just hurt my feelings. Now, it's probably not even her. It's probably just me being sensitive or having unrealistic expectations. But I'm sitting there just sulking and pouting, and she keeps talking like everything's okay. And I start to get offended that she doesn't know that I've been offended. And I'm like thinking, are you kidding me right now? Like, you hurt my feelings. Can you not tell what's going on in the inside of me? And then I started to get really insecure because I heard all these messages on becoming one. And I started to think, well, what if our oneness didn't take? Like, what if I should have paid better attention in sex ed class? And like, what if something's wrong and like, we're not one? What if she's not the one for me? And like, what if our marriage is going to end in disaster? And I'm going through all these scenarios in my life. And like, it was over a scenario that I can't even remember. And I escalated it because I expected someone else to know what was going on in the inside of my soul. But your words are a reflection of what's going on inside of you. And the framework of a healthy relationship is communication. It's communication that says, hey, listen, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to step on your toes. But I had an expectation and it wasn't met. And now I'm kind of struggling with that. Can we talk about it? I know you didn't mean to, but you said you were going to be home at 5, and you got home at 5:20, and dinner was cold, and that just, it does something inside of me. And I'm not saying you're a bad person. I know you didn't mean to, but it's just causing some tension inside of me, and I just need to talk about it. I want to give you the silent treatment. I want to yell at you, but I know that's not healthy, so can we just communicate? Can we just talk? Relationships become unhealthy when we expect someone else to know how to meet our needs without ever expressing what our needs are. The most unhealthy of relationships grow unhealthy when we have an expectation that someone else can meet our needs without ever saying, this is what I need in the relationship. When you expect someone to play the game and you haven't told them the rules, it's incredibly frustrating. I don't know if you've ever played a game with toddlers, but it is so annoying. They change the rules midway, and you're like, well, you just said I could do that. Like, why am I out? And it's like, I don't know. That's just the rules. And like, I'm just like, no, I'm not playing games with you anymore. Like, you're making up the rules as we go. But as adults, that's how we treat relationships. We don't tell other people the rules. We don't tell other people our expectations. We just expect and assume others to know what's going on inside of us. And then when our needs are not met, we hurt them back. Because we assume they must have known. They must have known that was going to hurt me. And because they didn't say sorry, because they didn't take care of it, I'm going to try to hurt them back. Your words reflect what is going on inside of you. Your words reflect what is going on inside of you. And sometimes that means you need someone close enough to say, hey, listen, you've just been angry lately. I don't know what's going on, but your words, like, you just seem tense. Like, what's going on in the inside of you? Or you've seemed to kind of pull back and, like, you're not talking as much as you used to talk. Or, man, you're crying a lot. Is everything okay? Something's going on in the inside, and I just need you to put words to it. I need you to communicate so I can try to help you, so I can be there for you. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So think about your words in the past week, and then ask yourself this question: what are you full of? I mean, think about your words. Your words reflect the condition of your heart. And if you're married to someone and you love them more than anything, how do you speak to them? Do your words reflect that you love this person more than anyone else in the world? If you have kids and they're your pride and joy and you're so excited that God blessed you with children, do your words to your children reflect how you really feel? And if not, there's something going on inside. There's some distraction. Maybe it's your own insecurity. Maybe it's your own hurt. Maybe it's because you've never been unconditionally loved or accepted, and so you just don't know how to have healthy relationships. But for all of us today, our prayer needs to echo David's. God, would you just set guard at the door of my soul? Would you just set guard? Would you just stand there? And would you just help me to reflect and to think about what's going on in the inside? I just hurt someone I love, and I don't even know why. There's just something going on inside of me, and it takes some reflection. It takes some honest looking at yourself to what's going on. But when you're afraid someone won't love you or accept you, it affects the way that you communicate. And so often in communication, because we're so afraid that someone may not love us or accept us, we don't even know how to be honest with our words. And I see this all the time when it comes to conflict. When it comes to conflict, instead of being honest and just saying, you let me down, we kind of hem and haw and like talk around it and kind of hope that they'll get to that conclusion. And we just assume that they'll be able to read what's going on inside of us, but we never sit down to say, hey, listen, I'm not trying to hurt you with words, but when you did that, it hurt. And I forgive you, I love you, this is a safe place, but I just need you to know that that hurt, those words affected me. The following insight is from Pastor Danny Silk, and I think this is so insightful. In fact, I wish that I would have read this about 10 years ago. This is some information that I think is so incredibly helpful when it comes to communicating, especially communicating your feelings and communicating out of some brokenness inside of you. According to Pastor Danny Silk, when it comes to our communication, there are three unhealthy ways that we do it. Number one is passive communication. Passive communication. When it comes to unhealthy communication, when there's something broken on the inside of us, we respond with our words and passive communication. Number two is aggressive communication. Aggressive communication. And number three, the final one, is passive-aggressive communication. Now, I want to break down what these are because I think that everyone in the room, in some relationship, especially when it comes to our family, we resort to one of these things. And there are some of us who need to identify what the one we do the most, and we need to say, God, would you set up guard over my mouth? Would you help me not to go back there? Would you help me not to do that? Because that's incredibly unhealthy, and it is destroying the foundation of our relationship, which is unconditional acceptance and unconditional love. The first one is the passive communication wall. This is a wall that we put up. It's not healthy, but it's something that so many people do. And the passive communication wall says, everyone else matters, and I do not. The passive communication wall, and you may know someone, you might be married, you might even have a kid like this, or you may be like this. The passive wall says, you matter and I don't. So where do you want to go to dinner? Oh, it doesn't matter, wherever you want to go to dinner. Are you hurt? No. I know you didn't mean to do that. My feelings aren't important anyway. It is passive. It is believing that you don't have intrinsic worth, that everyone else is more valuable than you. And the passive communication comes out of a hurt, out of a wound deep down inside. And maybe you've never been unconditionally loved or accepted. And so you just feel like, I'm not worthy of love. And I'm going to let everyone else know it. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. And you communicate that in your words. Someone gives you a compliment. Oh, no, that's not true. I don't look good in this. Someone tries to encourage you. Oh, no, not me. I'm not good. Everyone else is okay, but I'm not good. The passive communication. It says everyone else matters and I do not. It's a person who seems like they're incredibly unselfish because they're constantly putting everyone's needs ahead of their own, but it is incredibly selfish because they're living in a lie. They're living in a lie that says that they do not matter. The second one, the definition, is the aggressive communication wall. The aggressive communication wall says I matter and you don't. Now, some of you might be in a relationship or some of you might be the aggressive type in your communication. And If you want a perfect example of what this wall looks like, of a person with this, if you want to see whether or not you look like this, I would encourage you to watch season 2 of The Walking Dead. Shane in The Walking Dead season 2 is this characteristic to a T. The aggressive communicator wall says, I matter and you don't. I'll be happy with you, I'll be good with you until you don't do what I want you to do. And then I'm going to explode and I'm going to take what is mine. I'm going to force you to do what I want you to do. These people can be cordial, they can be nice, they can be great people to be around until you don't do what they want you to do. And at that point, they unleash. Why did you do that? I can't believe. And they just, it's like a T-Rex just coming at you and attacking. And it is aggressive and it is very difficult to be around when someone uses communication in this way. Now, something that is just, it's a crazy phenomenon in our universe, but so often passive people are attracted to aggressive people. And it is a sick cycle of relationship that a passive person feels they have no value, so they are attracted to someone who feels like they are the only one that matters. And they constantly just feed off of each other, but it is an unhealthy relationship. They're not living in a healthy foundation of unconditional acceptance and love. There's constantly one's putting themselves down and one's constantly taking, and there's so much brokenness in that relationship. The third one is probably the most dangerous and the most common. It is the passive-aggressive communication wall. The passive-aggressive communication wall says, you matter, no, not really. The passive-aggressive communication wall is someone who, when there's conflict, everyone else says, I don't understand how there could be conflict. They're so nice, they're so giving, they're so kind. And on the outside, the wall that they portray to everyone is, I'm a nice person, I'm a great person, I care about others. But when you start to dig inside and you start to hang out, you find that anyone who has wounded them at any point in their life, they're going to make sure that they tear them down. And it's passive-aggressive because they don't have conversations face-to-face. They don't actually talk to the people that hurt them. They talk about the people that hurt them. And they don't actually want to solve a problem. They just want to talk about it and stir it up. The passive-aggressive person. And this is something that is so difficult because you are friends with them and you love them and you're family members and you're like, okay, in public everything is great, but then when we get behind doors, you are withholding love from me and you won't tell me what's wrong. And you're giving me the silent treatment, and I've asked if everything's okay, and you just keep saying you're tired, but we're not talking, we're not communicating. Like, I know something's off, but you won't talk to me. Now, the goal of a healthy relationship is assertive communication. The goal of a healthy relationship is assertive communication. The assertive communication wall says, you matter, and so do I. Anyone who has experience unconditional love and unconditional acceptance from Jesus, it transforms their heart so that they can then turn and love other people. The ultimate test of receiving God's love is not saying, well, I matter, no one else matters, and it's not saying you matter and I don't matter. The ultimate test is saying, I matter because Jesus died for me, but so do you. You matter because Jesus died for you. My needs are not more important than your needs, and your needs are not more important than my needs. The assertive communication wall says we both matter. And in this relationship, this is so important, especially when you're communicating and you're in a fight. Because in a fight, what do we start to communicate? I matter and you don't. I'm going to win this thing, even if it does so much damage to you. I'm going to fight unfair. I'm going to do everything I can to hurt you. I'm going to do everything I can to win. Or if I can't win, I'm going to withhold things. And I'm going to hurt you by the silent treatment or by ignoring your needs or by not meeting your needs. And it is unhealthy communication, but a healthy communication is assertive communication, which says, hey, listen, we both matter. Now, what I want to give you next is incredibly practical because you may be one of those three unhealthy communications, or you might be married to them, or you might have kids that are that way. And how do we respond? That's the question that I was asking. How do I respond? If I have someone who's passive-aggressive or aggressive, what do I do so that I don't fall into their traps so that I can set up healthy boundaries? An assertive communicator's response to unhealthy communication, the following is something to be noted. To the passive communicator, this is the question that you need to ask. What are you going to do about it? If you're married to someone who is passive and they're just constantly saying, well, my life stinks, my job stinks, I'm not good enough, no one can meet my needs, life is just horrible, and you want to listen and you want to care for them, but it's just like this endless cycle, and they just never seem to get on the other side, and they're just constantly hurt, and you're just starting to get drained by the relationship. You don't say, I can't be around you anymore, I don't love you, but you do need some healthy boundaries. And the healthy boundary starts when you just say, okay, what are you going to do about it? I've heard you talk now for 2 months about how you can't stand your job, so what are you going to do about it? I've heard you talk now for 3 months about how that friend is hurting you. What are you going to do about it? Are you just going to keep stewing in it and just feeling like you deserve this bad situation? Or are you going to actually do something about it? And here's where the boundary comes. I love you, but I don't want to talk about this situation anymore until you're willing to do something about it. Let's find something else to talk about. You don't have to be afraid to come here, but we're going to talk about the weather. We're going to talk about TV shows. We're going to talk about something else in your life. But we're not going to keep just recycling this hurt behavior that you just keep going over and over again until you're willing to do something about it. To the aggressive communicator, the question is, I can only talk when you decide to be respectful. I can only talk when you decide to be respectful. If you're in a relationship with someone who is aggressive, and when you start talking, they start getting passionate, and they start yelling, and their voice starts raising, you need to say, hey, listen, we're going to talk about this, but I'm going to come back when you can be respectful. And you walk out of the room. You leave. It's important. We're going to talk about this, but I'm not going to let you intimidate me. I'm not going to be afraid to be around you, and I know you're emotional, so come back when you can be respectful and when we can talk. That is the boundary that an assertive person sets up, a healthy communication. And the final one is to the passive-aggressive communicator. We can talk later when you choose to be responsible and tell me what is really going on. If you're married to someone and they get hurt and you say, hey, what's wrong? And they say nothing and they're just quiet and they say, I'm tired. You don't just keep nagging them and pushing them because then they get more angry at you. What you need to say to them is, listen, I can tell something is wrong and I'm going to come back when you can be responsible enough to tell me what it is. I can't read your mind. I may have hurt you. It wasn't intentional. Maybe I'm the worst spouse ever. I just need to know about it. I need to hear from you. Until you're responsible and actually talk to me and communicate with me about what's going on, we can't talk. We'll just talk later. Now, the big question is if you're one of these three unhealthy, if you've built walls because you've just been hurt in past relationships or in current relationships, what do you do about it? Especially because it is so difficult to see yourself in the mirror. It's so difficult to see what type of unhealthy communication you have. So what can you do about it? How do you respond to this? In order to move from unhealthy to healthy, you must understand how other people experience you. It's the only way to do it. In order to move from unhealthy to healthy, you've got to understand how other people experience you. As long as you're focused and say, well, I'm always right, she's never right, and that's why I respond that way, you're never going to change. But when you start to reflect, what are my actions? I can't control her. I can't control him. I can't control or force my kids to do something. I can only control myself. So how do I impact other people? And when you start to ask that question, you start to do some reflection, and when you start to do some reflection, God starts to reveal the condition of your heart. And at that point, you can say, God, I've been ignoring this hurt that my dad caused me years ago. God, I've been ignoring this pain that my mom caused me, and I've never talked about it. But growing up, I never felt worthy, and so I've constantly been saying that, and I tell it to my kids, and I put myself down, and I just, God, you're revealing this in me. I've now reflected and I've seen the condition of my heart. And God, would you change my heart? Would you help my words to reflect a heart that has been unconditionally loved and accepted by you? So here's the application. And this is the part that I hope that every single one of you will do. The application is how you put this into practice. If you want to move to a healthy relationship, if you want to set up healthy relationships in your family, I want you to ask your family this question. What's it like on the other side of me? What's it like on the other side of me? Ask your family. Now, you might have young kids like I do, and who knows what they'll say. Like, this may not be a question for five-year-olds, okay? Or you might be single, and you say, well who do I ask? Well, ask your parents. Ask your sibling. If you have a roommate, ask your roommate. Ask someone, because you're building a foundation for the future of your relationships. And if you allow honesty in your relationship and someone can come back and say, hey, listen, I love you, but when you get hurt, you're so aggressive. And it just makes it unsafe. No one wants to tell you the truth because we're just afraid you're going to yell at us. Or when you get hurt, you go quiet and you start withholding love. And so we kind of have a fake relationship because I got to pretend like everything's okay because I'm just afraid if you get hurt, if something doesn't go right, you're going to withhold something from me. And so this is a safe place where you communicate, hey, I want to be better. I want to love you better. So what's it like on the other side of me? Ask your family, ask your spouse. If you have old enough kids, ask your kids. And when you discover that, you can start to have healthy communication with those in your life. The foundation of a healthy relationship is unconditional love and unconditional acceptance. But the framework of a relationship, of a healthy relationship, is communication. It's communicating what is going on in the inside. It's learning about yourself and reflecting and changing and allowing God to change who you are. And the only way you can do that is if you ask yourself some hard questions. Why am I so angry? Why am I so sad? Why do I believe I don't deserve good things? Why are these words coming out that don't reflect who God has wired and created me to be? You answer that question. You watch as you start to build healthy communication with your family and your relationships. And then you can, when life throws a lemon at you, when life throws difficulty, you can actually navigate through it because you know how to communicate. You're not hiding behind intensity and not hiding behind lying and feeling like you can't be safe. You can actually say, hey, this is hard and I'm scared and I don't know how to deal with this, but I need you. And when you can communicate that, you have an incredibly healthy family. You guys pray with me? God, thanks for this day. Thank you for your love for us and just the fact that you give us a framework to have healthy relationships. God, right now, we just ask that you would just do something in our hearts. All of us have some areas, just some pockets that we've been hiding some things from you. There's some pockets, there's some areas where we've been just in denial. And God, we just ask that you would just speak to us. We ask that you would start to heal the places of brokenness. God, for those of us that have been hurt and wounded by our parents, would you just bring in this unconditional acceptance and love? Would you just fix the brokenness inside of us so that we can have healthy relationships? And today, God, I'm just asking in Jesus' name that you would give us the courage to ask those that we love the most, what is it like on the other side of me? And that because we love, we'll love them as you've loved us. We thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.